Bima.
All right, I will say.
Let's get started. The shir today is sponsored by one of the bottom was the Yeshiva University Yarchei Kala in appreciation for the Knesset Orchin of Michael and Rachel Leibowitz. All right, I will say. Let's begin. Okay, so we left off. Last line on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is Mem Ches, but we're going to pick up Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Tani Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya said, Chirem Shabein Tchumei Shabbos. An interesting case. If you have a Chirem, now Chirem, we'll see, is like a reptile, we'll call it a pond. We'll call it a pond for now, or a body of water. We'll see exactly what it is as we go on. So we have a Chirem, we have a pond between two Tchumei Shabbos. So we'll say, so a simple way to imagine this is you have two cities, and those two cities, or those two areas, share a pond. And let's say, for argument's sake, what we'll see is, the 2,000 amos of each city pretty much kiss each other in the middle of that pond. Two tchumim kiss each other in the middle of that pond. So the Gemara says, so tzarech mechitza shal barzel. Rabbi Chiya says, you need a mechitza shal barzel, you need a literally an iron mechitza, lahafsiko, to divide the pond. So we'll say, in other words, in order for city A to take its water, city B to take its water, city A can only take the water that's on its side, city B can only take the water on its side. How do you make sure that nobody takes anybody else's water? You put a mechitza shel barzel down the middle. You damn it. Right? You go and you put a partition in the middle and everybody can take their water. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mechayich alei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina chuckled. He laughed when he heard this. I will say this apparently was, the Gemara is going to understand, was a dismissive type of chuckle. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina chuckled. So the Gemara says, my time of Kamachayich. Why would Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina laugh about this? So the Gemara says, "Ilei v'mishum tani v'kravi yochanan benu ilu chumra v'ilu sfira leik krab barna l'kula." So Rabbi Yossi, maybe you'll say the following. Maybe the reason he chuckled is because Rabbi Yossi holds it Rabbi Yochanan benu. So Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yochanan benu say? Rabbi Yochanan benu says that chef say hefker konin shmisa, right? That literally chef say hefker konin shmisa, which is that what? Excuse me. Maybe the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, which was said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says ownerless objects go ahead and acquire their own form. And therefore, when the Braisa says that you have to put a mechitza shel barzel, what that means is because the water technically in the pool of city A can't be brought to city B, and vice versa. That's how the Braisa obviously holds. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina holds kirat barna l'kula. But Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds the water. So he holds like kirat barna. The chef say hefker are not klonin shmisa, and therefore the water really has no pre-established tchum, and the water will have the tchum of whoever draws it. So the Gemara says, "Umushum v'sarva l'kula, man detani l'chumra machayichla." So we'll say it's very important to see it in general in life, in that sometimes we have certain truths that we hold to be true. But just because I believe in something to be true does not give me the right to be disparaging or dismissive of someone else's view. We find this very often, especially in halacha. It happens from the left to the right, it happens from the right to the left, it happens from the center in both directions. It's okay, I have my shidas, I have my views, I have my ashkafas, but I also have to be a big boy enough to know that other people have their own opinions also, and I can't be dismissive of anyone else. Even if it happens that they're wrong. So the Gemara says, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says something very interesting. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, why are you chuckling? It's interesting that if that's not like one of these interesting Gemaras. If Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina would have said, no, that's not the Shita, fine. But the Gemara is bothered by dismissive chuckling. That's the interesting part here. It's bothered by why are you acting like that? So if you want to say it's because the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that the water acquires the Makom Shemisa, and you, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, don't hold the Rabbanan. So because we shook the summer of the Kula, so because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, your Makom, man the turning the Chumra, someone else who's Machmir, Mach, Mechayich, Halo, you Machmir. You never did because you're Machmir. Elo Mishum, no, somewhere it says you're Nora. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina was chuckling for another reason. Elo Mishum, the Kanya, that because there's a Braisa. What's the Braisa? Because most of it is not the Braisa. Now what does the Braisa say? Flowing rivers and flowing springs are like the feet of any person who has seen anything before. directly clothing his wife. They do not have their own tchum. They do not have their own tchum. Rather, they take on the tchum of the person who clothes the woman. So the Gemara says, but if you are Yosef Yochanan, was chuckling because we already have an explicit right to take on this idea. That when it comes to bodies of water by definition do not have their own established tchum. But bodies of water get the tchum of the person who draws the water. As much as one second. The Dilma of the Mechunasim may be the case over here of the Chayim, maybe the case over here of this body of water between the two cities, is not a flowing stream. Rather, what is it? It's a pooled body of water. It's not what you call this standing water. It's standing. That Mechunasim literally means gathering. It's not flowing, it's not going anywhere. So maybe in a case where the water is not going anywhere, when do we say that the water is not flowing? Running water, flowing water, I understand that. But in water that's stationary, then perhaps one can make the argument that it does have a tchum. Elam shmita tani, zarek mechitah shalbar zolapsi. Rather, what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina laughed about was the mechitah shalbar. So we'll say, what the point I was going to suggest is, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina might himself hold a drabana, that do not require their own tchum. Try to get the tchum of the people. Go ahead and draw it. He may also hold that in cases of running water, or maybe even in case of running water, there's no tchum. And maybe even hold that in cases of stationary water, there is a tchum. What he chuckled about was the mechita shalbar. Why? So the Gemara says, we shouldn't be turning the tchum to mechita shalbar zalat. And why is it that, let's say, a mechita, why is it that a partition of, let's say, reeds won't work? The assumption, the reason why the Gemara is in the Chitza Shalbarzel is because the assumption that the Shalbarzel will prevent any water from going back and forth. That's why, for example, the Gemara did not say a partition of reeds, because reeds obviously would allow the water to go back and forth. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I have news for you. Shalbarzel, not me, I am the Gemara. The truth is that even with the Chitza Shalbarzel, water will still go back. Why I was saying, Rashi points out that really the Rashi Chitza Shalbarzel, Nami Ailu Kumayo, Mitasoi on the bottom, the Hosnam Mechitzi Lutonim, but the Macha Adkarko is Hanayim. Was I guess I'm sure that you know what he does of Mechitza, but if he says all of that talk won't work, so the Pashto is even constructed from the top going down. He's like, well, you can just get all of them down. Right, the bottom of the pond of the lake, the Pashto snow, that the Macha is the guy caused Hanayim. He actually turns on my tata. And even if you're going to go ahead and extend the mechitza all the way down, I will say, you can't make it watertight. The depression is always going to be a flow or back and forth from the two sides. So therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest now, that's what the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina was laughing about. So I will say, it could be the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina wants to say, you want to ask him like the Rabbanon, who holds that, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, that the water acquires a hope of Shemisa, that's fine, I'm the Kabbalah man. You want to even say that because this is not running water, therefore again it acquires a hope of Shemisa, I'm a Kabbalah as well. What he chuckled was about the Mechitza Shalbarzo. What exactly do you think you're accomplishing with this iron partition? If you think that you're really going to be able to divide the waters to the point that waters from side A are not coming over to side B, that's not, we both know that's not going to happen. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, but you can't do it. So what the Bryce is actually saying over here is, let me tell you what should be done, but at the end of the day, I acknowledge that once, that it can't be done. So what do you do about the water? Elam Yishun Bikhanhu Shekilu Chacham in the night. But rather, what happens? So Chazal said, essentially, do the best that you can with the Mechitza. But what? Understand, we will be lenient, because Chazal, in general, are lenient by water. How so? We've also seen this case a number of different times already, which is actually the Kalu Shekilu Chacham in the night, the Mechitza called the moon, Ubilvat Shehe Bar Yud, Mahan Yavon,
So, the Gemara therefore also suggests the following, that really what happens over there is,
when you have a body of sin in order to do the sin. In a chinam, you should put some kind of an sun in between if you're looking for the party, and part of the water belongs to city A, or I should say that belongs to part of the water you guys can finish from the city A, part of the water is going to finish from the city B. I think Gemara says, what you should really do, you should really keep the Shabbat. It's management, you need to divide between two things. The Chayek of the Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina, chocolate wine. At the end of the day, you have to need a water for anything inside of the I so what do we do? So the Gemara says, you're right, we're not going to have water for the pizza. Therefore, you know what? Even a pizza shelter, even just means, in order just to demarcate. But why do we allow it if the water comes back and forth? The answer is because when it comes to water, chazal were made. Where do we see that chazal were made by water? We've seen this a number of times. Who keeps Rabbi Kavla? Like the keys of Rabbi Kavla. Who happened to Rabbi Kavla? The body made Rabbi Kavla made up. The pizza to Luya, Mahu Shek, had here in the Torah. So we'll spend in this case suspending the pizza. This is the case of, let's say, where I'm in a curve, I'm in a ruin, and to ruin, let's say, I have a terrace, this is what the is, I have a terrace that overhangs water, and on Shabbos, I want to be able to draw water from the body of water below, into my terrace, technically speaking. The water is its own rishos, my terrace is its own rishos. So remember again, this is what you have on the pizza, a suspended pizza, which essentially means that I have structure that overhangs water. I want to lower my bucket through that structure and draw the water through that. So there's a pool of that in the house that is how we do that structure. We do the walls of that structure as if they extend all the way down to the water. To the point that when I draw the water, I'm considered as if I'm drawing water from my own precious hayom. Because that's called the heat, it's suspended in the top, that we view the walls as extending downwards. That is a kula. That is a leniency that Chazal created by water. So the Bible Rabbi Tavla Mirab, Mechitza Tzvuya Mashta, Amar Lei, Ein Mechitza Tzvuya Materes. The truth is, normally a suspended Mechitza does not work, Ela B'Nayim. The only case it does work is by water. So the verse is, Kavu, Shekilu Chachamir B'Nayim. Because this is a leniency that Chazal went ahead and established by water. Okay? Says the Gemara, so we'll say what comes out from this particular sukkah is, it does seem to be clear that when you have this body of standing water shared by two cities, that you would put some form of demarcation in between the two sides of the water for tchum purposes, tchum Shabbos purposes, even though what? That divider is not watertight. Since that, even though typically you should have a watertight mechitza, but we allow even this penetrable mechitza because of a kalvushik in the way to a says the Gemara, the chachamim omer. Says, Rabbi Huda and Tanakama. Rabbi Huda is saying the same thing as the Tanakama. That you have four amos in any direction. You want Amar Rabba Shmona Al Shmona in the midnight. So I'm saying, what they would want to focus. So Rabbi Huda coming is, do you have 8x8? Now what is that? What do you do with Rashi? Rashi says, Shmona Al Shmona in the midnight. The Rabbanon Sadli, Dalit Amos the Chol Tzadi. The rabbis actually know that you have four amos in every direction. Which was it really mean that you have 8 amos by 8 amos? Rabbi Huda Savar, Lechad Ruach Besulo. Rabbi Huda holds you only have 4 amos in one direction. So I was like, interestingly enough, what the Rabbanon essentially do is borrow a play from the Talmud playbook and just like by Tchum, you have 2,000 amos in every direction. So Sotu, in this case, even though you did not acquire Makom Shisa, you only have Dalet amos, what do you have? You have Dalet amos in every direction. You actually have a total of 8 amos of mobility. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, you have 4 amos in one direction. That's all you've got. Tanya Nami Halkin writes that supports this. Yesh lo shmona al shmona, Dibri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds you have 8 amos in it. You have a total of 8 amos mobility. But Amar Rava, machlokes lehalik. When we say you have 4 amos or 8 amos, that's machlokes, how far you can walk. Aval taltel bakari, Dibri Akol arba amos in tfei lo. Both sides of this is kind of obvious, but the Gemara nevertheless feels compelled to say it. So when we're talking about over here, the machlokes of the amos in one direction or the amos in every direction, that machlokes only applies to how far you can walk. But in terms of carrying it out, everyone agrees at once, you are limited to dalet amos because that's the amount of space you can carry in Rosh Sarabim without violating the law. The highly dalet amos is a very interesting. Do we see any kind of scriptural allusion to this idea of dalet amos? Absence of establishing the tchum of a makom shmisa, so now the Rabbanan said you are limited to your most basic, you're automatically given dalet amos. Do we see some type of scriptural allusion to these dalet amos? Kitei Gemara, yes. Kitei Sanya, shivu ish tachtov. The pasuk says, shivu ish tachtov. The whole pasuk is ruhu ki Hashem nasal lachem Hashabbos, al ki yosim lachem v'yom hashishi lechem yomai. So it's about by the month. The Rabbanan Baruch was going to give us a little portion of the month on Erev Shabbos. Therefore, Shavu Ish Tachtov. Each person should stay in his place. So what does it mean, Shavu Ish Tachtov? Ki Tachtov. Like the amount of space that he occupies. The Kama Tachtov. How much space does the person occupy? Gufo Shalosh Amos. Right? His body takes up 3 Amos. So we'll say 3 Amos is approximately 4 Amos. We'll say, point out to you, interesting. Enough to understand this actually is a measurement from the shoulders down. So the body occupies three amos. The amma can they lift shot yod of her agla, and you need another amma to stretch out your hands and your feet. So 4 amos becomes the most basic area that a person would need in order to lay down. That's shu ish tachtov. Each person stay in his place, keep tachtov, like the amount of space that you actually occupy. Give me Rabbi Meir, these words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says, Gufo Shalosh Amos. His body occupies 3 Amos. The Amma Kadeshi Itol Tepes Mitachas Raglov, Umaria Tachas Mirashosa. And the extra Amma is one that you can be able to take an object from underneath your feet and place it underneath your head. My Benai, what's the practical difference? They seem to be saying the same thing. Ike Benai Gu, Arba Amos Mitsun Somos. So the practical difference in these two opinions, what it's like is, are the 4 amos that we spoke about, are they exact or not? Are they between samos or not? So we'll say, what's interesting about this is that the nice thing we see is always this concept in halacha that now that amos becomes your person's name, you see this better. For example, I'll give just another example of the demonstration of this, that let's say, again, the nice husband has to give a get into the rishus of his wife. So when you get to get, you see that there are pieces of what happens in the land, throws it again into the dalet amos of his wife. There's the concept that my dalet amos is my space. This is true, again, even if I'm in Shrami, if I'm in the public domain, my dalet amos is my space. So the question is, we get this because dalet amos represents the most basic unit of area that a person, that if I were to lay down, this would be, so to speak, the space that I occupy. So the Gemara is not literally saying that dalet amos is d'oraisa. All the Gemara is just looking for is a scriptural allusion to the concept of dalet amos. Okay? And again, these different measurements, that it will just be, is it exactly dalet amos? Or is it dalet amos and a little? Okay? Also, we pass me that it's dalet amos. And that's all, not dalet amos. But a little dalet amos means it's almost, of course, again, just as an aside, remember how you measure those dalet amos, of course, is going to be subject to the machlokes that we saw before, which is, remember, there are different types of tefachim, right? There are tight tefachim, there are loose tefachim. So obviously, that's why there are machlokes in how to measure the amma. But when we speak about, again, dalet amos, we call that dalet amos mitzvot somos. That's exactly 4 amos. So the Gemara goes like, the Gemara says, Rabbi Sharshi said to his son, "Ki ailis likamei dirah papa. When you come before a papa, what do you mean? Ask the following question. arba amos sha'amru va'ama yidei ha'vinaleh u'va'ama shal kodesh ha'vinaleh. So we'll say, remember, technically speaking, an amo is the measurement between your elbow and the tip of your index finger. That's an amo. So now listen to this. So now you have Rabbi Sharshi saying to us, do me a favor. When you see Rav Papa the Yeshiva next, ask him the following question. When we speak about an amo, how are we measuring an amo? Is an amo measured by the individual's amo? So my amo might look different than your amo. So is it literally measured by a subjective amo, or what we call amo shel kodesh? Amo shel kodesh is a way of saying objective amo. Objective amo, the amo that they used in the Beis Hamikdash for measurement, which was an objective amo. So what type of amo now again? What he's asking is for true Shabbos purposes. Now let's say go to Rabbanon. I think therefore I was sleeping at the onset of Shabbos, and therefore I did not acquire Makom Shmisa, and therefore I don't have a Torah. But what do I have? Let's say according to Rabbanon, I now have four amos in every direction. How do I measure my four amos? Are they measured by my amo, or are they measured by an objective amo called Amo Shel Kodesh? So the Gemara says, Im Amar Lecha Amo Shel Kodesh Yadinatay. If you want to say, and if he answers you, and if Rabbanon answers you, that he gives the individual's objective amo measurements, Amo Shel Kodesh, Og Melech Havashem Matei Alav. What's going to be with Og Melech Havashem Mamish Nebo? What's going to happen with him? And then I'll say, Og Melech Havashem was a giant. So I'll say, the Gemara always uses Og to speak about big people. Right? So the idea is, if I use an Amo Shel Kodesh, what happens if a person is unusually large? Right? So what's going to happen if he's Amo, I'm a regular person, but his Amo is much bigger. And if Rav Papa answers you, that it's regular, that it's a subjective Amo, you have to ask Rav Papa, so we'll say, here you have now Rav Shashi saying to his son, and if Rav Papa tells you that it didn't use a subjective Amo, then you have to ask him, why then this is not included in the Mishnah? In Maseches Kehilim. So Rashi points out that Rav Moshe looked at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Gabi Yesh Amru, Mishnah Hidden Maseches Kehilim, Yesh Sha'amra Kalim Mashu Adam. So we'll say, interestingly enough, there's a Mishnah Kehilim that goes through all of the Shiurim that are subjective. That are subjective depending on the individual. So for example, that Mishnah brings down a Kenita. So we know that when a Kohen does a Karmic Kehilim, Karmic has done it in an interesting way. Karmic is a flower offering. So what does the Kohen do? He takes his three fingers, he dips it in, he puts his head, and actually my whole physical scene, he goes like this, goes into the flower, he scoops it up, and whatever, then he shakes off the sides, and whatever he gets in his three fingers, that's what's offered on the Mizbeach. Now obviously I won't say that's a subjective shear, because depending on the size of the Kohen, he's having a little old Melech HaMashon Kohen, get a big amount. So the Mishnah goes through all these things that are subjective. So Rav Sharshi says to his son, if Rav Papa tells you, so again, Rav said, this is, rabbis love getting this kind of question. Right? So now go to Rav Papa and say, Rav Papa, subjective Amma or objective Amma? If it's a subjective Amma, then what's going to happen? If it's an objective Amma, Amma Shel Kodesh, never, what is Og Melech HaMashon going to do? By such a small area. And if he tells you it's a subjective Amma, then what? Then ask him, why wasn't this mentioned in the Mishnah in Kehilim? It goes to all of the things that are subjective. To which the Gemara says, Yasa Gagra Papa. So when the son of Rav Sharshi came before Rav Papa, Rav Papa gave a very interesting answer. He said, if we're going to be so didactic in every single word, lo habi tanya, we would never be able to teach anything. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I have a dakina kule hai, the kule shas, lo habi matzi the terutze, kol di yude, lo haba tanya. It's interesting enough, what he's saying is, no, he's really responding over here to the second part, which is why this is not included in the Mishnah Kehilim. He says, no one Mishnah can include every single piece of the Kehilim. So this is always a struggle we have in the Gemara. Because part of what the Gemara always struggles with is what the Mishnah chooses to say, what the Mishnah chooses not to say. And there's a recognition that there are things that the Mishnah would like to say, but right here the Mishnah is limited. The Mishnah can't do every single thing. So here you have Rav Papa machlekes that Rav Sharshia. I understand what you're saying about the subjective ama and being included in the Mishnah Torah, but if we're going to be so didactic in every single thing, because you're never going to be able to teach anything, because you're never going to be able to figure out every single thing that should be included in the that you're going to make. Rather, he says. In reality, the amal that we talk about is a subjective amal. Now that you question that, why don't we include it in the Mishnah Kibbutz? The lo psikolei, because it's not always true. We don't always use a subjective amal. So essentially what he's saying is, we use a subjective amal in all cases except when we don't. Right? And when don't we? For example, we would say, Mishuti ika nanos behimar. So we'll say, nanos is a dwarf. So meaning, if somebody has unusually small limbs, in that case, we would not use their subjective, we would not use their personal ama. So also, what's interesting about this is the following. Essentially, what the answer really is we never use the outliers. We would not use the ama. We would not use the ama of Og Melech HaMoshan. We would not use the ama of the dwarf. So we'll say, here's what's fascinating. What essentially comes out is, what do we do? We essentially go ahead and use the ama of a regular person. So we use what we call the subjective ama, but the subjective ama essentially creates an objective shield. Because the subjective ama of the normal ama of a regular person becomes the objective shield of what we consider to be the ama of a regular person. And then for the outliers, we write the dwarf or Othel ama shard. Ultimately, their ama is not included in this particular definition. Okay. So he goes on to say, obviously, this subject with how you measure ama is a subject that goes on out shas. Here, the emerges as the gabbe the dalit amas of the Mokum Shemis. So what comes out? Well, there, the Gemara already told us. You can measure it again by taking 2,000 steps, right? Amos in Oros, right? Enochinami, correct? That's not a problem. Or it could just be that Enochinami could be that the halacha also accepts that different tumim will be measured different ways. It could very well be. That you and I might be in the same place, yet interestingly enough, you know, your tchum might end a couple of steps further or closer than mine. The way that Halacha accepts that reality. Excessively small, or the outlier is excessively large, we take the subjective ama of the, we'll call it the regular person. And that interests, again, I'm just pointing out one of these interesting sections in Aloha where the subjective shear becomes the objective measurement. Alright, that's correct. You're correct, Lemaisa, in the Maskaran of Gemara, but Aloha Lemaisa, we discount both of the outliers. Hayu Shnayim, that's also Shazam, so also remember again. That spoke about the case of two people that have an overlapping shvitos, right? Overlapping dalaras. So what could they do? They could join together in their overlapping area. So you must nominate the Neymar, the Ma'adavar Dom. So remember again, the Mishnah is actually very interesting. Because the Mishnah said if you have two people that have overlapping dalaras, they can go ahead and they can share, they can do whatever, they can have all Shabbos together in an overlapping area. So the Gemara said, the Ma'adavar Dom, what could this be? Right? Compared to three chatzeros, the two outer ones made an area with the inner one, and they overlap with the two, and the outer one can go ahead and share areas with the outer ones, but the two outer ones can't share an area together. So the Gemara says, what could this case be compared to? The three chatzeros that are open to one another, open to shravin. Why do you argue with me in that case and not in this case. The Ravana, the Ravana will say, Hossam of Shifurin. In the case of the Chatzeros, there are a lot of residents. And because there are a lot of residents, what can easily happen? The residents don't realize that ultimately they only have an Erev with the middle and not an Erev with the outside, and therefore the halacha is they can't go. Halachalo of Shifurin. Here in the case of the two overlapping Rishuyos, where the two guys just share Dalet Amos, there's not a lot of residents. And because there's not a lot of residents, remember, now we're jumping to the last case of the Mishnah. What was the last case of the Mishnah? Three chatzeros, the two outer ones form an era with the middle. Or I should say the middle one form right against the era with the two outer ones. So what happens? Why don't we see that what the Mishnah said that the two outer ones could go into the middle one and the middle one could go into the two outer ones? Why is that? Kevan the Agadeh Chitzonios, Bahadi and Sayyid, Bahadi and Sayyid, Havidu Chadok. Why don't we say that since the two outer ones made an error with the inner one, that Lamaisa becomes one big happy Rishos? So the Gemara says, Amrabi Kuli Kadosh Nasna, Sayyid, Eruba, Bisu, Beiru, Bisu. Because what's the case right now? The two outer ones are not making their error with the inner one, rather, it's the inner one that's making its error with the two outer ones. So the middle Chadok is putting an error with the left chatzar and putting it here in the right chatzar, and therefore again there is nothing really binding the two outer ones. Rav Sheshes said no. Rav Sheshes said you can even say it's a case of where the two outer ones put their chatzar, put their ear in the middle one. It's as if they put it in the back, as if they put it in two different, not as if they put the ear in two different homes. And if Rabosai, because Rabosai, remember now, my focus is how to be the case. According to Yehuda, the reason why the two outer chatzeros ultimately don't join together is because the two outer chatzeros are not making an Erev at all. It's the inner one that's making two different Eruvim. The inner one is making an Erev with the left chatzer and the right chatzer, therefore nothing joining the two chatzeros. The two outer chatzeros, therefore they can't walk in between the two. According to Rosh Hashanah, it's happening over here that no, the two outer chatzeros are making an Erev with the inner one, but what? The two inner chatzeros are putting, two outer chatzeros are putting their Erev in two different homes in the inner chutzner, and therefore what? They're never joined together. So the Gemara says, Kiman, who's a famous one? Like a Shammai. This Sanyo, Hamisha Shekhov, was a Ruach and Asmuk Shneba Mishnei Kelim. If you have five people living in one chutzner, and they collected food from the chutzner, for the Eruv, excuse me, and they put the Eruv in two different people, they Shammai, or the Shammai says, in Eruv, an Eruv. The Eruv is not a good Eruv. Why? Because in order for Eruv to put it, what has to happen? It has to be joint. It has to be together. And therefore, they're putting them into different utensils. That's not called an Eruv. Or Beisoves almost says, Eruv and Eruv. Beisil says it works. So the says, no. Akidotima Beisil. Even Beisil would agree in this case. Why? And Kabul Kami Beisil, Hassan Ella Bishne Kalim, the Bais Echod, Abba Bishne Kalim, Abba Bishne Batim, Lo. Even Beisil would agree, almost says, because Beisil allows for two utensils. But according to Beisil, even two utensils is enough to be housed where? In one house. Once you have two Eruvim, two different homes, then that by definition is what? It's two different Eruvim. So therefore, I will say, according to Rav Sheshes suggests that the reason why the two outer chatzeros do not join with each other, even though they are both making an Eruv with the middle one, is why? Because the two Eruvim they make with the middle one don't join together to form one Eruv. Why? Because in this case, and even Beis Hillel, who allows for, so who says that the Erev doesn't have to all be together, will say it could be in different utensils, but it has to be housed in the same location. The moment that the Erev is held in two different locations, then what? Then the Lai said that it's not one Erev. So the Gemara goes by to Amalei Rav Acha Breit Rav Avi Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, Amalei Rav Acha Breit Rav Avi Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avi, is a Rav Ashi. Rav Yehuda Kasha, Ul Rav Sheshes Kasha. I have a kasha Rav Yehuda, I have a kasha Rav Sheshes. Rav Yehuda kasha, what's Rav Yehuda? What's the question Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda. The Amar Kibon Shenasna and Yisoyis Eruva Bezu. The Eruva Bezu. So also listen to this. Remember, everybody's trying to figure out the same thing, which is, in the case of three chatzeros that open up into each other into Rosh Tarabim, why can't I carry, let's call them A, B, and C. So why can't I carry from A to C? Why can't I carry to C? So Rav Yehuda explained this case as saying how, because ultimately, the case over here is where B made an Erev with A, and B made an Erev with A. see. So there's no joint Eruv together in B. That's why you can't carry from A to Z. Okay, but so now Rav Acha says, well, the cash on it. Kevan the Eruv em so is Bahadich Zona, Havi Lechado. So listen to this kind of sense. Let's play this out. So now B is the one who's making an Eruv with A and C. So B's putting in an Eruv in A, and then B's putting in an Eruv in C. So why do we say like this? After B makes his Eruv in A, then what? B becomes one joint entity. And then, when B comes to make the Eruv in C, what should we say? The Chihadra, the Erva Bahadi Idach, Shlichuse Avda. Well, so listen to this Chah. So they say, they ask on Rav Yehuda, I don't understand, this works perfectly. B goes to make an Eruv with A. Good. Now we're what? We're one entity. So when B now comes to make an Eruv with C, who is B representing? Not just himself, but A also. And therefore, Lemaisa, when B now goes to make an Eruv with A, what should he make them? Should make them one thing, perhaps missions, that should allow for mobility, not just between B and A, B and C, but what? Between A and C as well. That's the Kasha Rav Yehuda. Ul Rav Sheshes Kasha. And I have a Kasha Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Sheshes say? Rav Sheshes wanted to say, Dehavi Kichamishas. Remember, Rav Sheshes was the one who said that Lemaisa, the case is where A and C are both making an Eruv. Aye, so why doesn't everybody join together? But they're putting their Eruv in two separate homes. And because they're putting their Eruv in two separate homes, they clearly don't come together. A and C don't come together as one unit. So rest in 1 second. Tehevi kechamisha sheshiyurin b'chatzer achas. Let it be like a case of 5 people living in one chatzer. Vishachach echad mehen below Eruv. And one of them forgot and did not participate in the Eruv. The Asri Ahadoti, and should Asr upon everybody else. So I will say that means that in the last 6 you have a bigger problem. Because if you have both A and C in B, and A and C are not talking to each other, then guess what? That creates a pagam. That creates a problem for the Eruvim of A and C just with B. So I will say, what does that mean? If A is with B, if A is not making the Eruv with B. But what happens? But B is not just B. Who else is in B? Who else is in B? So I'm having a lot of letters here. Who else is in B? C is in B. So how can A make an Eruv with B without somehow including C? That's like having someone else dwelling in the chatzer and not including them in the Eruv. If you have someone else dwelling in the chatzer, you don't include them in the Eruv, then what? Then the Eruv is not good. So what to ask in Oshishas is, how could A make an Eruv with B and ignore the presence of C? And how can C make an Eruv with B and ignore the presence of A? That's like having 5 people who are dwelling in a chatzer and making an Eruv without one of them, which does not work. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi responded, Lo v'Rav Yehuda kasha, lo Rav Sheshes kasha. No, the kasha is not a kasha. Why? Lo Rav Yehuda lo kasha is not a kasha. Rav Yehuda, why? Kevan di Eruv Allah and Soyes, Bahadi Chitzona. Bahadi Chitzona. Ushtayim Chitzonos Bahadi Adad. So remember, Rabbi Huda was the one who said. Rabbi Huda was the one who said that. Remember, the case over here is where the Eruv Chatzer is putting the Eruv out into B is B. So since B made an Eruv with A, and since B made an Eruv with C, and what? A and C, so we have the ability to come together in an Eruv. What happened? Gal Yudaita, they clearly show their intent, and their intent is what? Their intent is to enter into an Eruv. Okay, so the Gemara says you're not going to go against the express intent of A and C and bring them together. They clearly indicated that they have no intention of coming together. Well, Rav Sheshes lo kasha, and Rav Sheshes said, according to Rav Sheshes, not a kasha either. Why? Im amru diyur lahakel, yomru diyur lahakel. If we spoke about the case of residents in order to create a kula, when we say total residents for the chumra, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. We'll say, im amru diyur shal zu bezu, al yedea eruv lahakel. Hatiran Yahad, Yomusha Eruv, maybe had the Yuru Masoho. Could they last for Allah? Hoglo Dairi Mamish the Gavasra was saying, the whole notion of making an Eruv to begin with is in order to create nuances. In order to create stringency. In other words, what the Quran says is you're comparing apples and oranges. Both in the case of Kamisha, the Yuru, 5 people live together in a chatzer. And one does not participate in the Eruv. There reason why he does not, why he ruins that for everyone else, is because Mamashi is a resident of that particular concept. Okay, that's not wrong. But now you're going to tell me that when someone has a vested interest in the concert, that suddenly it makes them like a resident to the point that if they don't participate in the year, they're ruined it for everybody else. That's an incredible fumo, says the Gemara, that the laws of the year are not ruined in such a fumo. So I'll say what comes out is the Kashan Rabbi Huda and the Kashan Rav Sheshes are not really finished. What does come out is there's two views of how we understand the Mishnah still stand. So again, according to Rabbi Huda, the reason why the two outer ones came carrying to each other is we're talking about a case where the middle one went out and made the Erev with the choir with B, made the Erev with A, and made the Erev with C. As such, A can't carry with C because A and C clearly never had any intention of doing together. They had the ability to do so, but they clearly demonstrate that Kilo Yidas, they have no intention of doing so. So because of that, they're not brought together. According to Rav Sheshes, what's happening over here? A and B, A and C, do both come into the middle of Chatzah, but ultimately what? They're putting their Eruv in two different homes. So because they're putting their Eruv in two different homes, therefore, by definition, they don't join together any common Eruv. And again, the fact that they don't join together any common Eruv does not share anything for C, right? Or excuse me, for B. Because even though, again, technically speaking, now you have multiple people in the same Chatzah, but those people are not actually joined together with the Chatzah, that's not going to ruin it. That having people not joining together in a chatzer, in an eruv, ruins the eruv of the others is only when those individuals are actual residents of the chatzer, which is because the other interest in the chatzer does not require all of the interested parties together to come together for the eruv in order for the eruv to be effective. We're not finished, but we'll continue with the Hashem tomorrow. Shol, thank you very much.